While we remain committed to covering the LA fires, certain events taking place in the world today demand that we use this time to speak out and speak up. This Blonde Can Talk fully intends to remain politically neutral beyond this episode. Before we begin, I want to provide a content warning. This episode discusses sensitive topics, including suicide and mental health. If you or someone you know is struggling, please know there's help available. You can contact a crisis hotline like the Trevor Project at 1-866-488-8-7386 or the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by dialing 988. You're not alone.
Hey guys, it's Melanie, if that wasn't obvious. This episode is a little heavy for me, and I don't want to call these episodes, they're basically public service announcements, but for the purpose of RSS continuity, this is episode 93. I'm not really here to talk about the fires today. I mean, there's a lot going on there, and I will be back tomorrow. So you're getting like 3 days of me, and I'm sorry about that. I will be back tomorrow to mention, because tomorrow's Thursday. So tomorrow, a lot of information will come out about where you can donate during the weekend and what you can do to get help if you need it. But that is not where my head or my heart is today. I'm here to talk about politics a little bit and the LGBTQ community. I have always remained committed to keeping this podcast politically neutral because I don't want to alienate anyone with my political beliefs, but my human beliefs are very simple and I've always made them known. And so I have no problem discussing them in this context. And I have so many friends who are members of the LGBTQIA community. My heart is in being pulled in many directions and I'm still exhausted. So I'm still going to be a little bit all over the place. I'm sad for my friends because it's hard to see people that you love and care for being ostracized by a man who I don't think he actually understands what he's doing. I really don't. So today's episode is partially, I did a lot of research and I like wrote it down. So I guess partially it's scripted and partially it's my feelings. So it's going to be a little bit all over the map. And I want you, I beg of you to stick with me till the end because the ending is really where I'm going to like drive it home. So I would like to start out by saying that people who are, you know, gay, for example, have been part of my life since I'm a little girl. So when I was a kid, my mom had a cousin who was a lesbian. And so for me, it's never really been something that I found odd or like wrong, because if my religious grandparents could accept that she was a lesbian, then who was I to not accept it? And then later, like my mom's cousin, different cousin daughter came out as a lesbian and her mom did not accept it. And she was very angry about it. So I have seen both sides of the coin. And I just want to say, I have many friends who are gay and they are some of the most amazing people, like so generous of spirit and just kind. And all they want is to be accepted. Now, I myself am not gay, so I will not sit here and pretend that I can completely empathize or understand the pain that they're going through, because I don't. But what I can tell you is that I know what it's like to be different. I know what it's like to have to tell your parents that you want to pursue something in life that is so absolutely bonkers that your parents don't at first, well, one never supports you and one at first thinks that you've kind of lost your mind. So I've never had to come out as gay, but I've had to come out as, hi mom, I want to be an actor, and have my mother look at me and say, That is so stupid. What am I supposed to tell my friends? She's come around, but at the time it hurt. And if something like that could hurt me, can you imagine? I can't even imagine the pain that I would feel if my parents didn't like accept me because of my sexuality or sexual identity, because I don't believe that it's a choice, but some people do, and Donald Trump is one of them. And I can't believe we're going to be discussing this. So, like, I'm emotional. Like I said, like I've always said that I wouldn't make this podcast political, and beyond today, I won't. But right now, I just find myself in a position where I'm examining the actions taken by President Donald Trump, and it makes me sick to say President Donald Trump again. Like, Donald Trump just gives me the like cringe. I'm cringing. I don't even want to talk about him. But anyway, the Trump administration in 2025. There's so much that I need to discuss. Anyway, so as I was saying, I find myself examining the actions taken by, this is something that I wrote, by the way, taken by President Donald Trump and his administration this year, so 2025, concerning the LGBTQIA plus community and their rights, and the broader implications for the community. So we all know now that on Monday, January 20th, President Trump, I hate saying it, signed several executive orders that significantly altered the federal government's stance on LGBTQ rights. One of the most consequential orders declared that the United States would recognize only two sexes, male and female, as unchangeable, effectively erasing federal recognition of transgender and non-binary individuals. This makes me really sad because as long as you identify, whatever you identify as, if it makes you happy, I personally don't care. How does it affect my life? Like, how does it affect Donald Trump's life? How somebody else lives their life? Nobody is coming to my house to question that I identify as female. I was born female, and no one cares. And if somebody else was born and in a body that they didn't feel was theirs, and experienced gender dysphoria and went through the process of transitioning, if they feel like they are a woman, then I accept that they are a woman, and I don't think that, or a man, and I don't think that that's something that Donald Trump or anyone else should be able to call into question. It's stomach turning. Like, it doesn't make any sense. How somebody chooses to identify should really not bother anybody else. So the executive order that he signed has now led to the dismantling of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility programs across federal agencies, programs that took forever to develop and eventually get put into place to promote inclusivity and protect marginalized people, were quite literally terminated in one day. One day. In one day, he undid like years and years and years of work, which I don't understand how one person, no one should be allowed to have that much power. Literally terminated in a day. So raising concerns among civil rights organizations and especially amongst the LGBTQ community. In a matter of the last 2 days, the administration's actions have had very profound impact on transgender individuals by rescinding protections that allows transgender students to use bathrooms in locker rooms aligning with their gender identity. The federal government has now let these decisions to each individual state, resulting in a mess, guys. Because so it's a mess of policies and I would definitely say it's discriminatory because some states are really gross. Some states don't care. Like in California, you are loved as you are. In New York, you are loved as you are. Texas, Alabama, not so much. So it's something that I just don't think should be left at the discretion of each state. Although I am grateful for states like California and New York, what I think is that people should just be left alone to live life as they feel fit, as long as they don't hurt anybody. So as if all that I just stated isn't bad enough, Trump has reinstated the ban on transgender individuals serving in the military. So my question is, how does that help anybody? It literally reverses progress made during, like other administrations that predeceased him. And it affects thousands of service members and people who aspire to serve. I don't understand this dream, but some people actually have a dream to serve in our military. And thank God for them, because otherwise there'd be like an all-out war in America at any time. But now he's made it that if you are a trans person, you cannot serve in the military. Like, why? Anybody who wants to sign, like, conscript themselves or sign up for the military should be allowed to do it. And like today, I a little notification popped up that said President Trump has signed into law a ban on using the LGBTQ flag in federal buildings and US embassies. Like, I don't understand, how is a flag bothering this man so much that he needs to remove it? It just doesn't make any sense. So, because of these like now discriminatory, stupid things that he signed, civil rights groups, including the American Civil Liberties Union and GLAAD, I've worked with GLAAD, it's an amazing organization. Both are condemning his actions. The ACLU criticized the administration for promoting discrimination and erasing protection for the community, which, I mean, effectively, that's what he's done. And GLAAD has highlighted the removal of LGBTQ IT. I'm so tired. How many times have I said I'm so tired in the last like 10 episodes? If anyone can guess, you could have $1 million. LGBTQIA plus rights. So in response, let me repeat that. In response to federal rollback, several states have taken steps to protect LGBTQ plus states. And what's states like Colorado have enacted laws safeguarding transgender youth and ensuring access to gender-affirming care, which makes me very happy. Can more states please do this? Advocacy groups emphasize the importance of local political involvement, urging citizens to engage with school boards, city councils, and state legislature to uphold and advance LGBTQIA plus protections. The policy shifts that are going to happen this year, 2025, have sparked a national conversation about the rights and recognition of LGBTQIA plus individuals. As the landscape continues to evolve, staying informed and engaged is crucial. And so I personally want to encourage you, the person listening, to support organizations advocating for equality and participate in local and national discussions so that we can like reshape the future of LGBTQIA plus rights. Personally, like some years back, I aligned myself with the Trevor Project after doing some research and discovering that suicide rates in the LGBTQ community were like the highest anywhere across any demographic. And so I aligned myself with Trevor and I raised money and I did, I can even tell you that, a $15 donation to Trevor answers one call. Because that you have to factor in keep turning the lights on and keeping the lights on and keeping the lines going and so forth. So if you have $15 to spare and you might want to save a life today, maybe donate it to Trevor. It's a project that it's an organization that's so near and dear to my heart, because even if you don't identify as LGBTQIA plus, they'll take your call. I could call and say, "Hi, I'm suicidal," and they would listen. So at this point, we're diving into a conversation that feels more urgent than ever, because standing up for the LGBTQIA plus rights in a time of political uncertainty is important. After Donald Trump's inaugurations, many in the community are understandably anxious about what the future holds. Policies and rhetoric over the past few years have left scars, and the promise of a new administration has left a lot of people wondering what we can do now. So I, like I said, I wrote some of this because I went through the internet. I did some digging to make sure that I could bring as much information and as many resources to this podcast as I could, because it matters to me. So let's explore what's at stake right now and how we can fight back and why hope is not only possible but necessary in a time like this. So to start, let me share a story that I found online. It's about resilience. So in the 80s, the LGBTQIA plus community faced one of its darkest chapters during the AIDS epidemic, which, if you're not familiar with that, maybe you should watch the movie with Matthew McConaughey called Dallas Buyers Club, which highlights like the AIDS, some of the darkest times during the AIDS epidemic. So while the government turned a blind eye, activists rose up, groups like ACT UP, Queer Nation, and countless unsung heroes refused to be ignored. They organized, protested, and supported each other when no one else would. That same spirit of resilience runs through us today. History reminds us when the systems of power fail, we find power in each other. And while right now it feels like we're standing at the edge of a difficult road, we need to remember that we've walked similar paths before. And we've emerged stronger. So what we're really facing now under the Trump administration, we've seen rollbacks of protections for trans students already, attempts to ban trans individuals from serving the military, and now he made it official, I believe, and the erosion of non-discrimination protections for LGBTQIA plus individuals in healthcare and employment. While some of these battles were fought and won in court in the past, others remain ongoing. So let's just like I'm going to go back. I want to talk about Donald Trump's actions during his last presidency, and beyond that, because he's been targeting this community and threatening decades of progress towards equality and inclusion since he started running for president the first time around. I don't understand how we live in a country where people are so hateful that they would vote in someone so hateful and unqualified. So maybe this is not a political episode so much. Maybe it's not about politics. Maybe it's more about human rights and dignity and the lives of millions of people who deserve to exist and feel safe as they are. So to start, I decided to take a look at the context of Trump's previous presidency. So during his campaign in 2016, he made contradictory promises, which what else is new? He's still doing that, but he made contradictory promises to the LGBTQIA plus community. On one hand, he claims to support them, famously holding up a rainbow flag at a rally. But on the other, he aligns himself with socially conservative agendas that often exclude and attack the LGBTQIA plus community and their rights. So once he was elected, his administration quickly set a tone that made many queer and trans Americans feel unsafe. For example, within months of taking office the first time, Trump rescinded guidance issued by the Obama administration. He basically undid everything that the Biden administration did as well, like doing stupid things like taking the Spanish version of the website down. Like, what is wrong with this man? Oh my God. It honestly, it's frustrating to me. Like, I'm getting angry. So, as I was saying, he rescinded guidance issued by the Obama administration that allowed transgender students to use the bathroom matching their gender identity. And this move signaled at the time a troubling shift in federal protections for the LGBTQIA community. So here's a breakdown of some key policies and actions during his first term in office that directly impacted the LGBTQIA community. Number one, the transgender military ban. One of the most publicized moves was Trump's attempt to ban transgender individuals from serving in the military. In a series of tweets, he can't tweet anymore, but since he's best friends with Elon, maybe he'll come back. But please know. In a series of tweets in July 2017, he announced that transgender people would no longer be allowed to serve in any capacity. This decision was met with widespread condemnation from the LGBTQIA plus advocates and military officials who emphasized the value of trans service members. I'm going to tell a story about my grandpa. My grandpa went to war. He is a boy who had no idea what he was going to do. He went to fight for his country, but he really didn't know what he was going to do. he was a kid and he had to go, I think, by force, basically. There was no real other option. And every year on Memorial Day, I thank the young man who shot him in the knee and sent him home because it became a casualty. So they didn't need him anymore. They didn't want him anymore. They sent him home. And because they sent him home, I got to have the best grandpa in the world. But it's people like my grandpa who are the reason that we live in a free country. So anybody who wants to be of service in the military should be allowed to do it. If it's their desire. I'm not talking about like conscription like they used to do, but if they have a desire to serve in that way, why not? Why does it matter? Because if a woman can be in the military and a man can be in the military, it shouldn't matter if a trans woman or a trans man wants to serve in the military. That makes absolutely no sense for me. None. So the second key policy that Mr. Trump like screwed around with was erosion of workplace protections. The Trump administration rolled back policies that protected LGBTQIA plus employees in federal jobs and for federal contractors. Under Trump, the first time, the Department of Justice argued in court that Civil Rights Act did not protect employees from discrimination based on the sexual or their sexual orientation or gender identity. Three, healthcare discrimination. The administration, the first time, weakened protections for LGBTQIA patients under the Affordable Care Act. In 2020, Donald Trump's Department of Health and Human Services finalized a rule that removed explicit protection for transgender people against discrimination by healthcare providers and insurance companies. These are just facts. This is stuff that I found that I felt really needed to be shared. Number four, religious freedom over LGBTQIA plus. The administration prioritized so-called religious freedom over the LGBTQIA plus community. For example, Trump's Justice Department supported cases that allowed businesses to deny services to LGBTQIA plus customers on religious grounds. That is just discrimination of a human being. That's how I see it. Fifth, international LGBTQ, I've been saying it so much, it's like a tongue twister. LGBTQIA plus rights. While Trump's first administration claimed to support decriminalizing homosexuality globally, it simultaneously cut funding for programs that supported LGBTQIA plus individuals abroad. The mixed messages left many advocates skeptical of the administration's true intention. So if you're listening to this and you're like, why does this matter? It matters because the policies enacted or supported by Trump's administration were more than just political decisions. They were signals to a broader, movement seeking to undermine the rights of people who are a part of the LGBTQ community, because Donald Trump has a big problem with that. It's not about the bathroom policies. It's not about wedding cakes. It's about whether or not LGBTQIA plus people can live their lives freely without being afraid or discriminated against for fear of violence. So by rolling back these protections, the first time the Trump administration legitimized harmful rhetoric and emboldened those who wanted to erase LGBTQIA plus identities across the board. So, despite challenges, though, LGBTQIA plus advocates and allies showed remarkable resistance, and we're going to have to do it again. Activists fought back against the Trump administration in courtrooms, on the streets, and through grassroots organizations. For example, in 2020, the Supreme Court ruled that Bostick versus Clayton County, that Title V does not protect them. Does not protect employees from discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity, despite the Trump administration's opposition. Local governments and organizations stepped up to provide resources and support where federal protections were weakened. As we move forward, it's really important to remain vigilant because politicians and administrations always, they they change all the time. They one door in, one door out the other. But the fight for equality for the people that I love and the people that you love and the people that we haven't met yet that we're gonna love in the LGBTQIA plus community continues. So here are things that you can do to like help, you know? So steps to take action, stay informed. So do like what I did today and go inform yourself about all the stuff that you need to know before you start talking. And then keep track of legislation and policies that affect the LGBTQIA rights. Knowledge is power. Number two, support organizations and groups like the Human Rights Campaign, Lambda Legal, and the Trevor Project. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the work that the Trevor Project is doing. It is vital to protect, you know, the LGBTQIA plus people out there in the next election. And I'm saying this because 33% of people eligible to vote did not vote in this election. So if they had voted, we might have President Kamala Harris in office right now, and we wouldn't be dealing with this to the extent that we are, because she was actually wanting to be progressive. So we have 4 years of this, but I want to implore you that the next election, assuming that Trump doesn't make it impossible for us to vote, elect someone who is committed to equality and hold them accountable. And the last thing you can do is speak out, like I'm doing right now. Challenge discrimination when you see it and amplify the voices of the LGBTQ community, even if you're not part of that community. Because the fight for LGBTQIA plus equality is really far from over. But I do think that if we all band together, I would really like to believe that we can build a world where everyone is free to be themselves. And I say this as someone who is strange, as somebody who goes out into the world every single day and has people look at her like she's a little weird because she's a little too blonde and she's a little too sparkly and she's a little too real, because there ain't nothing fake about me, honey, except my hair and my nails and most of the time my eyelashes, but I've never hidden that. So, with all of that I've said, the most significant portion of this episode is this one. I've taken a look at the suicide rates within the LGBTQIA community again, and they are alarmingly high, and it's made me very sad. So, for context, according to multiple studies that I read up on today, LGBTQIA plus individuals are facing disproportionately higher suicide rates compared to their heterosexual and cisgender peers. A study from 2022 report from the Trevor Project found that 45% of LGBTQ youth seriously considered attempting suicide in the past year. For transgender and non-binary youth, the numbers are even more staggering at 53%. This is happening because for the, I mean, there's the reasons are multifaceted. Multifaceted mental health struggles are a factor, but the real culprit lies in social pressure, stigma, discrimination, rejection, and lack of support. The same way we don't want stigma, discrimination, rejection, or lack of support against us for our religious beliefs or the color of our skin, or whatever makes us different, whatever sets us apart from whatever is considered the norm. We should not accept these discriminations and rejections and stigmas for any community. So why should this one be any different? So why is this happening? It says the, did I read this already? Yeah, I read this already. Sorry, like I said, I wrote some stuff down. You can hear where I'm talking and where I'm reading. I just wanted to write some stuff down to get so that I wouldn't come on here and just be an emotional wreck, because like I said, I have so many friends who are LGBTQ who I'm worried about, and I just wanted to get on here and share as much information as I could, despite not wanting to do constant episodes that are not what I normally would do, because I love to entertain, but this is not entertaining. It's informative. And the last six episodes have been about fires. And the next few are also going to be about fires. Despite, like I said, missing putting out the entertaining content, this stuff needs to be talked about. So I'm here to do just that. So it's important to note that this isn't an inherent issue with LGBTQIA identities. Rather, these statistics reflect the systemic barriers and hostility that queer people face in their everyday lives. Numbers alone don't tell the whole story. Behind every statistic is a real person with hopes, dreams, and struggles. So just like you, me, or anybody else, and they deserve to, well, nobody deserves to struggle, but they deserve to have their hopes and they deserve to dream as big as anybody else. Research shows that risk factors for LGBTQ individuals include family rejection. Many queer youth are rejected by their families, with 40% of homeless youth identifying as LGBTQIA plus, which is disgusting. I don't understand how your own family cannot just accept you because you're the same person. So just know that you are still loved by people out there. And I know it's hard, but just like hold on. I know it's hard. Bullying and discrimination, schools, workplaces, and communities can be hostile environments. I've seen it. It's not pretty. Lack of affirming spaces. Queer people often feel excluded from healthcare, education, and religious communities. I have a friend who's gay and is also Catholic. And even though the Catholic Church shuns him, he continues to go to church every Sunday. So it's like he's being ostracized, but he's saying, God made me this way. So, from the research that I've done, everything is not all bleak. It says protective factors like affirming relationships, access to mental health services, and inclusive environments can significantly reduce suicide rates, which is why I wanted to get on here. What can you do to make a difference? Listen and learn. Take the time to understand the experiences of an LGBTQIA person. Advocate for policy change. Push for anti-bullying laws, mental health funding, and non-discrimination policies. Support local organizations. Donate or volunteer with groups like the Trevor Project, GLSEN, GLAAD, or Trans for Life. I've personally worked with Trevor, GLSEN, and GLAAD. Create safe spaces, whether it's in your home, school, or workplace. Ensure that your LGBTQIA friends feel welcomed and valued. And if you or someone you know is struggling, please know that there's no shame in seeking help. It takes immense courage to reach out, and it's really worth it. Many of you know that I've attempted suicide. Maybe I've told the story about the time that I almost died, but it wasn't the only time that I attempted. And we can talk about that some other time if that's something that you want to hear about more about. But in those moments when you feel like you want to die, I just need you to know that from personal experience, it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it because you'll miss your life. And if I died the many times that I've tried, or the few times I've tried, I would have missed so much. And I don't want to miss my life. I just want to live a really big life. And I want that for you. And I want everyone who's listening to this to commit to creating a world where the entire LGBTQ community feels seen, heard, and supported. And I hope that everyone who's listening to this, who identifies as LGBTQIA, knows that you are never alone and help is just one call or text away. I know I've been plugging the Trevor Project, but it's not the only resource available to you. I do have a list of them, so I can list them for you right now. Because if you're in crisis, you need to just call. And I know it's embarrassing. It feels embarrassing, and I say this is from experience. It can feel so intimidating because you feel embarrassed, but it could also save your life. And I'm telling you, there's so many amazing things that will happen for you. And if you miss your life, then you're gonna miss every single one of those amazing things. And I don't want that for you. I want the same thing for you that I want for myself. A really big life, a big, beautiful, wonderful life. I'm just looking for the resources because I've saved so many resources about so many things over the. Oh, here we go. So, LGBTQ mental health resources, Trans Lifeline, 877-565-8860, or translifeline.org. Trevor Project 1-866-488-7386, or text START to 678-678, or you can visit thetrevorproject.org. LGBT National Help Center 1-888-843-4564, or LGBT hotline.com. The 988 Lifeline, call 988 and press 3 for an LGBTQ trained crisis counselor. Text Pride to 988 or chat online anytime at 988lifeline.org. Crisis text line, text HOME to 741741 or visit their website, crisistextline.org. Callback line, 1-800-604-5841. Callbackline.com, DEQH helpline. You can call them at one. I don't know why I said 1-908-367-3374 or DEQH.org. And the last one is LGBTQ plus center directory. So that's like every resource you can get. And it's lgbtqcenters.org/lgbtqcenters. I also wanted to share with you something that I saw today on social media. It was from the Trevor Project, and they were addressing trans people like directly. So if this applies to you, if you are a trans person who is terrified right now, this is what the Trevor Project wants you to know. To our trans and non-binary community, this morning, many of us awoke to the news of new executive orders attempting to erase and challenge the validity of who we are. These attempts are pointed, and their impact is sharp, even as many will take the time to implement and/or will be delayed by litigation. With this in mind, the Trevor Project remains steadfast in our ongoing fight to protect trans and non-binary young people and prevent LGBTQ plus youth suicide. Here's what we know. Our researchers, see, they did research just like I did. Our research consistently supports that LGBTQ plus young people are not inherently prone to suicide risk because of who they are, but rather they are placed at higher risk because of how they are mistreated and stigmatized. That's why our focus in times like this remains clear. We will contribute to advocate for the conditions that allow you to survive and thrive. We will continue to be a lifeline and a voice on the other end of the phone as you need us. We will continue to recognize you as your true, authentic self because nobody can take that away. That was a message from the Trevor Project, which I loved. And it made me feel good to read it because I also identify with the idea that nobody can take away who you really are. So don't let anybody do it to you. Stand firm, and know that your validity is not dictated by an executive order. And things can change. Trans people existing does nothing negative to your life. You cry baby bitch. This is something Florence Q posted, and I loved it. So I saved it to share with you guys. Also, I just want to put a request out there. This is going back to the fires. Donations requested for a transgender recovery house impacted by the LA fires. The Van Ness Recovery House is accepting donations on behalf of Serenity House, which houses sober, trans, and non-binary neighbors. That was damaged by the recent LA fires. You can drop off items anytime this week at 1919 North Beechwood Drive, Los Angeles, zip 90068. Ask for Jamie, and if she isn't there, leave a note with your donation, CO Jamie, and she will make sure it makes its way to the transgender recovery house in need. Accepting women's and unisex business casual clothing, work attire, heels, new makeup, new or used clean wigs. And if you want to follow them on Instagram, it's at MAEBEA girl. I'm sorry for bringing the fires into this, but it was about helping the very community that I'm talking about. So I just want to close this out by saying, if you feel like you're alone in the darkness, there are people like me who are willing to fight for you. Let's commit to creating a world where everyone feels seen and heard and supported. And if this resonated with you, I hope it resonated in you with you in the sense that you want to change things and not because you feel like you don't deserve your life, because you do. If you are too scared to contact any of the resources, please feel free to send me a DM at that brash blonde. I will listen and I will respond. I love you guys, no matter what you identify as. And I know that there's a lot of other people who love you. And we want you to be here in the world. So I hope this episode made you feel seen and heard. I hope it educated some who maybe didn't know what was going on within their government or weren't paying attention or just didn't care. But if you sat through it this long, I know you have a great big heart in there and that you have enough love for, people from all walks of life. So please love each other, especially more right now, and especially now, and more now, especially in times like this that are just so dreary. I am exhausted, super exhausted. And I am going to go to bed like 5 seconds after I upload this. So I love you guys. I'll be back tomorrow with more fire, more information on the fires. All of this is breaking my heart and it's breaking my spirit. But I have to take my own advice and keep pushing forward. I love you guys. And I'll be back to talk to you tomorrow. I'm sure you're really enjoying all this time we're spending together. Good night and stay safe.